Well, it's good to be here together with you today. The Lord promised if we gather in His name, and that means that Jesus is at the center of it all. He's the focus. He's the reason why we're here. You know, let's face it, we all have needs, and we come to God all the time. How many beside myself come to God all the time with your needs? Amen. But there's something special that happens when we come to bless Him. Amen. Not just to get, but to give back. To give gratitude, to give thanks, to bless Him who's been so good and who is good all the time. To give praise for His faithfulness. And I said this a few weeks ago, but I don't know where it came from, but it just dropped out of the sky. That's how God speaks to us. It's like all of a sudden this thing just comes to you. And it had to do with people say, well, God must be really narcissistic if He has to have people praising Him. No, you praise God because you are truly grateful in your heart. It's an automatic response to the goodness of God to give praise to Him. And somebody blesses you, you know, you don't give thanks to them and say, well, they're narcissistic, so I better give thanks to them. No, you give thanks to them because you're grateful. He deserves praise. He's worthy of all praise. So we give thanks to God because He is good. His love, His mercy endures forever. He's the God of gods. He's the God of creation. He's the God who came to save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came looking for you. And He's searching for hearts even today. Who will go? Who will respond? Who will say yes? Who shall I send? Who will go for me? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. Hallelujah. Lord, I'll go where You want me to go. Where You lead me, I will follow. No turning back. No looking back. I've committed my way to Him. Amen? He can take care of it. He can handle it. He's bigger than I am. Smarter than I am. Wiser than I am. He's got all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. And He's everywhere. He's in me. He's with me. He's for me. He's my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. He's my strength, the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be, right? Afraid. The Lord is the strength of your life. You're not afraid of people. You got to make sure He's the center. Amen. The foundation. He's your confidence. You know, the world's telling you, put your confidence in yourself. God says, put your confidence in me. Amen. And then you'll have confidence for the journey. Amen. But it'll be from me and not of you. Because our confidence is only so good, you know. It only goes so far. As soon as something goes wrong, what happens to your confidence? Yeah. Never does the Lord say, esteem yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. That's how it works. And when God lifts you up, no man can take that away from you. You lift yourself up, well, You exalt yourself, well, God resists the proud, actually. He actually resists a proud person. But He gives grace to the humble. Those who say, Lord, I need You. Christianity's just a crutch for weak people. Well, man, if you're crippled, you know, a crutch sure works good. But God doesn't just leave you crippled, amen? He gives you His strength, His ability, so that you can walk with Him. We're learning how to walk with Him. Hallelujah. At first, we are crippled. We're just kind of dragging along. He's doing most of the pulling, you know. I'm with You, Jesus. He said, come on up here with me. Let's walk this thing out together. Let's do life together. He wants us to be like Him. That's the goal, is to be like Christ. Christ-like. To be conformed into His image. To be transformed. See, the world tells you just need a few more books, a few more CDs, a few more self-help tapes. You know, you just need a few more programs. God says, all you need is me. I'm the one that created you. I know how to take care of you. I know how to fix you. I mean, I just have that kind of simple childlike faith. What can I say? God is big enough. Our God is not weak. He's all powerful. We shrink him in our own imaginations, in our own minds. Amen? And we make our problems bigger than he is. Come on. I think the God who spoke the cosmos into existence is big enough to handle my puny little problems. Amen? And if I'm stressed out, I'm sure he's got enough grace, amen, and peace for me to be able to rise above it and to sustain me through every trial, every difficulty. He's God of gods. He is El Elyon. He is the most high God. Everything in heaven and earth and everyone is subject to him, and every knee will bow before him. Every tongue will confess. He is exalted above all. Hallelujah. And when the Bible talks about gods, it's these fallen ones that people worship, these fallen angels, and they've exalted themselves, and people think that they're God. And many people are saying, well, God spoke to me. Well, what God are you talking about? Our salvation has a name. Our salvation has a face. Amen. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't have to run over to Tibet. I don't have to climb the highest mountain. Amen. I don't have to make a trek over to Mecca or a trek over to Salt Lake City to visit the Mormon Tabernacle. I just need to get on my knees. Amen. Before my God, my Creator, my Savior, my all-sufficient God, who's more than enough, way more than enough for me. We're just scratching the surface of who he is, of discovery. But that's the amazing thing about this. It's a journey. It's an adventure to discover God, to know him, is my heart's desire. I always pray, God, make me a man after your own heart. You know, that will do all of you goodwill, that will always say yes. How about you? I bet you prayed that a few times too, right? Unless you're a woman. You say, yes, Lord, make me a woman after your own heart. No confusion here, right? Yeah. Okay. In the beginning, God created them, right? Male and female, he created them. For procreation. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you for the body of Christ, the family of God, and for the times we have together, the times of refreshing and sharing in the life of Jesus together, and that we get to be a part of your kingdom and what you're doing, Lord. It's exciting to serve you. Lord, I ask you to stir up the gift of God in every heart today. And if there's somebody here today that doesn't really know you, God, that you would reveal yourself to them today, that you would save, you would sanctify, you would heal, you'd deliver, you'd fill with your spirit and raise up for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. The wedding invitation. This is the name of the message today. Jesus is our divine bridegroom. And we look at our redemption as a marriage. We're living in the day of our betrothal right now. And it's through the blood of the covenant, the blood of Christ, that we have been united together with him as a bride. And we are to, because we are his bride, we are to give every part of us back to him. Just like any healthy marriage is one where both husband and wife fully commit themselves to each other. Everything they have belongs to the other. What I have belongs to you. What you have belongs to me. And that is the way it is in Christ. All of his promises are yea and amen, because we are his people. We are the apple of his eye, his church. He's coming for a glorious church. He's coming for a spotless church. He's coming for a prepared people, a bride that is holy and will be presented to him in that day. and the Lord will be glorified in His people in that day. As He has gone away to prepare a place for us. But He said, if I go away to prepare a place back to the Father's house, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. Jesus is coming. He's returning. And He's returning in an hour when you think not. And so when He departed, He said, be ready. Be watchful. Be looking up. Amen. And you see the things that are happening in the world today. Know that your redemption is drawing nigh. It is time to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Jesus, He shall come. He shall reign. Hallelujah. He's going to put down all rule and all authority. He shall establish His throne in Jerusalem and reign over all the earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. And the nations shall be gathered before Him. And He shall separate the sheep from the goats. Amen. And I want to be on the sheep side. Be ready. Amen. But we are a spouse to Jesus. This is a marriage, folks. This is an invitation to say yes to Jesus. And those who come to God, I want you to hear this, must come to Him on His terms. We are invited, hear this, to a party. Do how many realize that God is a partier? Yeah. And you don't get hung over at these parties. You don't get sick and throw up the next day. Amen. He's life-giving. He's a life-giving spirit. So He's inviting us to a party that will last forever. And while we're here, God gives us access to Him. He allows us to come before His throne of grace. For everything that we have need of is to be found in Him. He is the one who completes you. Your life will never make sense. Your life will never have purpose until you discover Him who gave your life to you. To know the heart of the Maker is to know what your purpose is. And if we don't know what our purpose is, then we end up wasting our lives. We end up abusing our lives. Are you hearing me, somebody? Anybody beside myself been doing some of that stupid stuff, right, in the past? I mean, you've lived a life that, and how many here maybe have a few regrets? How many here wish you could go back and change a few things? And boy, if I knew what I knew now and I went back then, things would certainly be different in my life. But the good news is that God gives new beginnings. God forgives. God settles things. It's been settled at the cross. The price for sin has been paid in full. If we will repent and turn to Him, our sins will be blotted out. Our names written in heaven. We have a new beginning, a fresh start. So God is putting out an invitation to not only you and I to come to Him for fellowship, but also to the world around us. The people need to know that God is throwing a party and that you are invited. You see, a lot of people have a warped view of what God is really like. And that's why we're here to study and to inquire and to seek to know Him, to really know the true Jesus of the Bible. Amen. Not some cult Jesus. Amen. Not some angry, fist-pounding Jesus. But a Jesus who loved us so much that He willingly laid down His life for us. In love, God gave us His Son as an offering to pay our price, our debt. For God so loved the world. This is the love that has been demonstrated for us in the cross. And God is inviting us to come into His presence to be a kingdom citizen where we have access to Him who is the tree of life, and we can eat, we can dine with Him. He even prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. The Lord is my shepherd. And here, I want you to read with me if you would. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Father, I ask you today to open our understanding, open the word to us, impart truth in the inner parts, transform our minds, our thinking, to come into agreement, into alignment with what is true. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says here, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king, verse 2, who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Now, in the Eastern culture or customs, it was the father of the groom who helped plan the wedding. He would also prepare and pay for the wedding. And these weddings were very lavish. The food lasted for days. The wine and the food was the best. And it was really a labor of love that was put on by the father. And in this fact, it was a wedding feast. Remember where Jesus turned 180 gallons of water into wine? And there was singing, there was dancing, there was eating, there was drinking, there was joy, and there was gladness. In other words, it was a blast. Oh yes, Jesus is at a party. And in verse 4, he said, I sent out his servants and invited those, you know, in verse 3, but they were not willing to come. And the father said, listen, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. So the father spared no expense. He gave his very best. He has prepared a feast and he has broadly given the invitation to whoever would respond and say yes to this invitation to come to this party that will last forever. Tracking so far? God is calling. The word is going out. Come to the waters. Drink of the water of life freely. Whoever thirsts, let him come and take of this water. We're not invited to some stale, boring religious activity, but a celebration. And this is what people need to understand, that it's not some stale, boring, lifeless, religious ritual that God is calling us to. Unfortunately, too many this morning even are doing just that. They're going through the rituals. They're going through the motions. They're doing their religious activity. They're coming dry and they're leaving dry. But God is saying, I have prepared a banquet. I have prepared a feast and I am inviting you to come and you can dine with me. Didn't he say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, he was talking to the Laodicean church, was it? What was he saying? He was saying, the door is open. Would you come? Would you dine? Would you have fellowship with me? I'm giving you an invitation. Would you say yes? How many here have ever planned a party and really just kind of laid it on thick? I mean, you just really did the best you could to make this party a beautiful presentation, and people are going to be blessed if they came, and you just wanted to see people happy, you know what I'm saying? And so you plan this big party, and then all of a sudden it's like, where is everybody? You ever had one of those experiences where hardly anybody shows up? Ever prepared for something and And people, not only didn't they not show up, but some didn't even call and say, hey, sorry, something came up. I won't be able to make it. They didn't even give you the time of day to say, you know, sorry, I couldn't make it, but, you know, I hope you have a good time. How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel when you plan something with somebody and they stand you up? You ever get mad? You ever get furious because somebody insulted you because they disregarded your goodness, your good heart, your willingness to bless somebody, and they disregarded it. They just wrote it off as a light thing. They made light of it. That's what's going on here, is Jesus is saying the Father has prepared a banquet. He's inviting all to this wedding celebration that will last forever. And he first came to his own people, and they rejected the invitation and even killed those who were sent to them to give them the invitation. And it's speaking of the Jewish people, the national Israel, that they rejected that invitation. And so then he turns and he says, well, we're going to broaden this. We're going to send the invitation to whosoever will. Who will respond? Who will come? The table is set. The banquet feast is prepared. Who will come? Do you understand that the devil's a thief? He's a liar. He robs people of what God has for them. He whispers in their ear and tells them that this is more important than that. These simple, temporary, earthly things are more important than the eternal things of the kingdom. And he magnifies something that will leave you empty so that you think that that's going to make me happy, that's going to fulfill me, and then when you partake of that fruit, it leaves you dead and lifeless and empty and wanting more. When God says, come to the water, drink, be refreshed, live, eat at my table. I serve only the best. Don't listen to that other voice that's telling you that God is boring. Anybody who says that God is boring doesn't know God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Heaven is not a boring place. It's a total paradise. God offers nothing but the best. Now, I want you to hear this. When people reject God's invitation to come to Him, they're actually rejecting the mercy and eternal life that He's offering them. Oh? When people reject the will of God for their lives, they're saying no to His invitation to life. How many here are living out the will of God for your life? Do you understand? When we say no to the will of God, we're saying no to life. This is not a light matter. Jesus walked in His Father's will. Jesus was always satisfied because He was in the Father's will. My meat, my food is to do the will of my Father. He was satisfied in the will of God. He didn't have to seek earthly lesser things to satisfy Himself because He was dining at the table. Amen? Prepared before Him, the Father said, come and eat. Let your soul rejoice. The prophet Jonah, when he was sinking down to the depths of the sea, sinking to his death, he made this profound statement. And in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 5, I just want to read down through this, and it's in verse 8. But the waters surrounded me, he said, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. Do we see a type of Christ in the grave? And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And then he says this. It's kind of like, where did that come from? Well, we know where it came from. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Can I suggest to you, without getting stoned today, that much of the church in America is in idolatry? We are observing worthless idols, spending ourselves on lesser things, temporary things, prioritizing the things of this world above the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We are truly not seeking, are we seeking first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33? Are we seeking the kingdom above all things? And what is it in this world that we would say, well, that's more important than the kingdom? Oh, well, the Seahawks are playing today. I got to go fishing today. I've got to do this thing. I've got to do that thing. We start to put all these other things before the kingdom business. Jesus was crucified, amen, on a brutal cross for the sins of the world so that people could be saved. They could be forgiven, amen. They could be brought into life. And he's lavishing his grace right now, pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And we have a message, amen, that we should be bringing to people and telling them, hey, there's something far superior to those temporary things, those parties in this world that you're filling yourself up on that leave you empty. God is calling you higher. God is saying, I'm giving you an invitation to come to my party, to dine at my table, to eat and drink with me, to let your soul be satisfied and let your soul rejoice in me. Find your peace in God. Find your satisfaction in the purpose for which God gave you your life in the first place. Have you discovered the will of God? Have you sought Him? If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. To know the will of God is to know what life is. To say no to God's will is to reject His offer of mercy. And so Jonah says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. He had an awakening. He had an attitude adjustment. He woke up. He says, I thought that my way was better than God's way. But how many know the way of self-will is the way of death? But the way of His will is the way of life. It's the way everlasting. And in that will, you will be satisfied. In that will, you will be nourished. In that will, you will be filled. Your life will overflow with His goodness. And God is saying, forsake these idols. They're lies. The devil's robbing you. The devil magnifies something that is worthless and makes it look like it's better than what God has. He magnifies something worthless and makes it appear as if it's superior to what God is offering. Wow. It's getting quiet in here. Wow. You know, Jonah was basically saying, I forsook the mercy of God by failing to listen to His voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. Are we listening? Are we saying yes to His invitation? Are we responding to the will of God? Are we putting the kingdom of God above everything else in our lives? Or are we bowing down to idols and maybe not even aware of it? You know, the Lord has to turn the light on in my life. He has to turn the light on in all of us. He has to give us warnings because we're too important to Him. He's a good Father. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. And He knows that His will is what's best for us. That's the other part of us that says, I'm going to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. Are there any idols in your life today that are keeping you from fully committing your life to Christ? I'm talking about all in. A full plunge. Not a little goosebump on Sunday morning, amen thing. But I'm talking about a life that is committed in covenant, a marriage to Jesus Christ, to where everything I have now is His. Everything He has is mine. What He says, I do. Where He sends, I go. I listen to Him and I believe Him and I trust Him because I know that He has only good in store for me. Guys, how many of us here as fathers, we want only the best for our families. Amen. We want the best for our wives. We want them to be taken care of, protected and provided for. Amen. And we want them to be happy. You know, God wants you to be blessed. Blessed means extremely happy. Even to be envied, you know. But God wants you to be blessed. He's a good Father. But we have to cooperate with Him. We have to be together with Him. No relationship is any good unless there's an agreement in that relationship. We're walking in harmony. We're giving and taking, we're sharing. Do you know God allows you to dream too? He says, if you delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. That's what He meant. But you'll discover that when you're in love with Jesus, what you want to do is please Him. And even if there's a desire in your heart, but you know it's not going to please Him, you ain't going there. Because you don't want to grieve the one you love, you want to bless the one you love. If you really know God, you'll live for Him. The more you get to really know this God we're talking about today, the more that you'll commit and give yourself to Him because you'll know how good He is and that He is offering me a superior life. A super abundant and overflowing life. I came that you might have life and life what? More abundantly. That's what God is saying. And don't let these lesser things choke out the life that God has given you. Forsake the idols. In the end, the very end of, I believe it's 1 John, the last verse, it says, little children, he just ended the book with this, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. The church in America is full of idolatry. And so much of the church in America is just pleasing people and going around doing surveys and finding out what people like. And, oh, you like that? Well, we'll do that. Oh, you want a coffee shop? I don't care if we have a coffee shop, but it's not about coffee shops. Amen. It's not about the trendy stuff that people are doing just to make people happy. How many know that the only happiness people are really going to experience, the true joy is the joy of the Lord. We got to get them to Jesus. Amen. They need to get free from sin, amen, to be forgiven, to be cleansed, and to be filled with the Spirit of God, and find out that He alone satisfies the deepest longings of my spirit and my heart. It says that they made light of it. The invitation went out. They disregarded the Father's call to join them. And they made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his business. Question today is, do we make light of the gospel? How many know that Jesus is sharing something here that is much, much more than just saying a sinner's prayer at an altar at a service? He's saying, I'm calling you to a committed fellowship, a cooperative fellowship. I'm calling you into a covenant, and this covenant is in my blood. I'm calling you to be my wife. This is the metaphor. We are espoused to him. Those who you are in love with and those who are you are committing yourself to, you are going to be faithful to. Nobody here in their right mind would want their husband or their wife to cheat on them. And yet that's what's happening. As people who claim to be followers of Jesus, and yet they're cheating on God with the things of this world. They're putting these other things, these idols, in front of God. And the king, it says, was furious. This is what God thinks of this. It makes him mad. He has done so much. He suffered so much. He grieved so much. He gave his son Jesus. Jesus suffered and died for us. He paid the highest price for us. And how can we disregard such mercy when he's calling us to be joined to him? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Married, committed, faithful. To the faithful one. I don't want to do anything to grieve the Lord. I don't want to allow anything in my life that in any way would give anybody any ammunition to point a finger at Jesus and say, there's one of your followers. Are you hearing me, somebody? We've seen too much hypocrisy. It's time to repent, amen, and say, put away the toys, put away the idols, amen. Rediscover the goodness, the glory, the majesty of the Lord, hallelujah. The wonder, the awe of getting to know him, this amazing creator who's given us access into his very throne of grace, and we're only tapping the surface. God's saying, come deeper, come higher. Delight yourself in that which really satisfies. Delight yourself in the Lord. Forsake the idols. What is it that you put before God? What do you think is more important than the kingdom business that he's called us to? It says in verse 6 that the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. This is again speaking of the Jews. And listen to what Stephen said. He was rebuking the unbelieving Jews of his day in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Folks, do you know what resisting the Holy Spirit means? It means when God is telling us something or speaking to us about something and we're not listening. We're not having it. We're going to do it our way anyways. That is resisting the Holy Spirit. He says, you resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. The father was furious. Has God forsaken his people Israel? Absolutely not. He's a faithful father. He made promises and he's a promise keeper. But now God has thrown the net out to both Jew and Gentile. All people, amen, have the invitation now to come to Christ, to be forgiven, to receive new life, amen, to have entrance into the very throne of the King. And we can dine at his table. In Luke, it tells us a little bit more in Luke chapter 14, verse 18. It says, they all with one accord began to make excuses. Here the invitation's gone. Everything was set, a lavish spread, you know, and they all began to make excuses. One says, well, I just bought a field. Just bought 5 yoke of oxen. Just got married. Lord, I would follow you except that I'm really busy right now with my own stuff. Maybe, Lord, after I have lived my life for myself and I've made lots of money, and I've got a nice house, I've got a car, and maybe even that really nice boat. And if I'm really lucky, I'll get a yacht. And after I get all this stuff, then I will, when I retire, other than watching the Seahawks and all these other stuff, I mean, I'll give you some time, at least on Sunday morning. I'm more than willing to pass the offering plate. More than willing to greet people at the door. And God bless you guys for doing that, by the way. He said, that's it. Last time I'm doing that. Do you understand? You getting it? Sometimes, folks, we don't realize how far we have actually drifted. And the Word of God does that. Jesus is saying here, read my Word, continue in my Word, abide in me. And I'll give you heaven's perspective on things. Because we're prone to live an earthly minded existence because we are natural, we are human, and we're of Adam as well. Amen? We're Adam and Christ, both. And God is saying you're either going to live in life or live in death. If you just live and focus on Adamic nature, the old nature, and what satisfies your flesh, you're going to die. You're going to dry up spiritually. You're going to wither. You're going to produce no fruit. But if you make the kingdom of God and His righteousness your priority, you're putting God before everything else and say, Lord, what do you have to say about it? Lord, tomorrow can we go here and do this? Can we trade in this city? Can we conduct business over in this city tomorrow? Can we do these things? Or do we just say, well, I'm going to do it anyways, and hopefully God will bless it. You've heard it said before that God will bless what He ordains. God will bless what He approves of. So His will is a no-brainer. His will is always, yes, it's a blessed place to be. So what is God's will? What is God's will for me? Well, God's will is that you would follow Him. You be a follower of Jesus. Like the disciples. They hung out with, talked with, communed with, served with Jesus. Live their life for Jesus. And when the day comes, and all of us have that day coming, we all have that day in court, don't we? There's coming a day when everyone will come before God in judgment. And we're going to say, God, I was faithful in little. I did the best I could. I wanted to follow you. I wanted to serve you. Or is He going to say, who are you? Are we going to hear that beautiful statement, well done, my good and faithful servant? Have we been faithful to the Beloved? Are we faithful to Him? Do we keep ourselves for Him? Do we deliberately avoid sin because we want to keep ourselves for Him? Sin is cheating on God. It's not being faithful to Him. It's saying, this is more important to me than my relationship with you. And people who really know the Lord will live a holy life. They'll live a pure life. People who claim to know God but live like a sinner, don't really know God. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know that wherever you go, when you're in secret, God is there. Everything that we do is being written down. It's all in the books. And I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that those things are dealt with, amen? And I'm not going before judgment in that day and not having my sins forgiven, amen? And having my heart right with my God. Not going before the King and He's saying, but you've been an idolater. You've cheated on me all your life. You've claimed to be my follower, but you've lived for the devil. Wow. It's one of those feel-good messages, isn't it? But when, listen, when the king summons you and I, when we're called before a king, you better respond. You better listen. When God is drawing you, you better say yes. Because you don't just bebop anytime you want into a throne. Amen? You come by invitation, and God right now is giving us an invitation to come. And there are some people who think, one of these days. How many people, are in hell because they said one of these days? And one of these days never came. An eternity of regret because we refused the king's invitation. When a king gives you an invitation, your plans are no longer the priority. Do you hear it? When God calls my name, calls your name, your plans are no longer a priority. Otherwise, I'm guilty of idolatry. I have placed these things before His will. And that's what Jonah was saying. Those who observe worthless idols will forsake their own mercy, or they forsake their own mercy. Mercy is in listening to the voice of the shepherd who calls us to fellowship. He calls us to security. Our security is in Him. Our peace is in Him. Our joy is in Him. Our love is in Him. We are to be encapsulated in Him. We are to continue or to abide in Him. In Him we are holy. In Him we are righteous. In Him we are in good standing. In Christ alone I place my trust. But when I have another idea and I'm like, no, I don't need that. I have a better idea. Well, God has to prepare a big fish sometimes in our lives. How many have been swallowed by a fish or two in your dime? Because you had a different idea. God says, I'm telling you to do this. And you say, no, I'm going to go do that. Like Jonah. And God prepared a big fish to swallow him up. Amen? But he had an attitude adjustment. The fish was a good thing. It's called discipline. The Father loves us and He disciplines us. He gets us back to where we need to be. Now in verse 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Well, why weren't they worthy? Because they disqualified themselves by refusing to listen to His voice. Again, God resists. He actually resists the proud. The proud are the ones who say no to God. It's arrogance to say no to God. He actually resists the proud person, the person that says no to God, but He gives grace to the humble. The humble are the ones who submit themselves to God. And then they resist the devil and he flees from them. God gives His grace to the ones who are saying yes. But He resists those who say no. I don't know about you, but I don't want God resisting me. My wife and I were talking about a particular church that they cast a lot of demons out. It's a big church, but they're very much like us. They're a full gospel church. And the Spirit of God has a way of stirring up the enemy. You know, if somebody's, you know, got a bad spirit in them, boy, that, sometimes they'll start acting up, you know. So the pastor called some of his elders and his people to come and pray for this one particular woman. And they prayed and they shouted and they spit and they, you name it. And that thing wasn't budging. That demon wasn't coming out. So they ended up calling up some of the new believers, the babes, who were humble and hungry and open and willing to be a vessel. And they just joined hands and they prayed and they made a circle and they prayed and all of a sudden that thing just said, I gotta get out of here! Because sometimes we can get proud, you know, of what we know. But love edifies. And the love of God is the most powerful force in the universe. It's toxic to the devil. That's why you bless those who curse you, right? And you love your enemies. But I want to finish with this. Hebrews 12:25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Who's he talking to? Turn to your neighbor and says he's talking to you. He's talking to the church. See that you do not refuse him who speaks from heaven. That's the Lord. The Father has given the invitation for us to join together with him, to be one, to a marriage, to a covenant. A covenant means I'm going to be faithful to this relationship. Amen? I'm going to give myself for him. He's already given himself for me. Everything I have now is his. Everything he has is mine. My life is now to be lived for him and no longer for myself. That is the message of the gospel. And that is the message in this parable of the wedding feast. Some people are going to make light of this message today. Some people are going to disregard it. Some people are going to go out and do what they always do. But understand this, that the day is coming when you will give an account of what you did and what you knew. To the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Are you willing to give your life, commit your life to Jesus Christ? How many understand that you never lose when you do that? You only gain. You gain eternity. You gain access. You gain grace. You get all these blessings that will begin to flow because you submitted yourself. You've humbled yourself. And you are willing to say yes to the one who is Lord of all. How many believe you really understood the message today? You understood? Is it what God is saying today? Let's make that recommitment. Amen? Let's recommit ourselves today. Let's say, Lord, I hear you, and I'm recommitting my life today. I'm giving myself back. Forgive me for idolatry. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me from all sin and restore me to right fellowship with you. Fill me with the knowledge of the will of God in Christ. Stir up the gift of God within my heart. Bring me to full flame. Set my heart on fire for you. I receive you, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. I want fellowship restored with you. Thank you, Lord. Those who come to you, you will not resist. You will not reject. I receive you, and you receive me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen.